Lewis, something that he wrote. It says, from the moment that you wake up each morning, all of your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And if you have kids, like, that's what it's like, right? And the first job each morning consists of shoving it all back and listening to that other voice, taking the other point of view, letting that other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. Every one of us would experience this, and sometimes depending on the type of personality that you are, you know, if you're more task-oriented, like when you wake up in the morning, you know, the things that might come at you are all the things you need to get done in the day. And if you're maybe more of a feeler, the thing that might rush at you is, what kind of mood am I in? And, you know, based on maybe what has happened the day before or what you know is going to happen that day. And what we all have to learn to do, and what is a vital part of our faith, is to push all that back. To push it all back and to be with the Lord before other stuff even happens. That is a vital part of our faith. You may have you may have heard of the person that was praying and they said, Lord, I've done really well today. I haven't gossiped. I haven't said anything bad about people. I haven't been angry, and I haven't found anybody that I can't forgive. But in a few moments, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed. Right? We life comes at us, right? And so we need to intentionally find moments where we create space for us in the Lord. It's an intentional part of our faith. And so we're actually going to do that right here at the start of the message. I'm going to pray. And I want us to pray for us. I want us to pray for our city. And of course, we have an election coming. And so I want us to pray for our country. I'm going to pray for a godly leader and at least a righteous leader. And when I say that, what I mean is that just a leader that does what's right, whether they know God or not. We want them to know God, but we also want them to do what is right and godly for our nation. So let's stop right here at the very start and pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that we can be here with you. We can be here with one another in your presence. God, you are worthy of all our praise. You're worthy of all our worship, Lord. Thank you for each day. Thank you for our country. Thank you for Canada, oh God. We pray that you would bless this nation. That God, this nation, that our country would turn to you, oh God. That we would see salvation come to Canada. That people's hearts and minds would turn to you, oh God. Lord, we pray today for our election that's coming. God, we pray for a godly leader, a righteous leader, oh God, to lead our nation. Thank you. Lord, you tell us that you put all authority in place. And so, God, we look to you. We look to you, oh God. We trust you as our leader, our king. Thank you, God. No matter who gets elected, God, we trust you. But God, we ask, Lord, we ask for a godly leader. Lord, we pray now for your spirit to come, to remain here. Your spirit is here. Lord, may you remain. May you give us eyes that see and ears that hear. We'd know you more and more. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. So we're in a series called Getting Over Yourself. And the question that I'm asking each of us, each and every one of us, is this. It's really this series about asking the question, what if it's not about me? What if it's not about you? What if it's not about me? What if it's really about Jesus and others? So what if it's not about me? Like, that's a healthy question to ask yourself on a pretty regular basis, isn't it? What if it's not about me? Because I don't know, I don't think I'm the only one in the room, but what I have found is that I have this incredible capacity to make things and sometimes everything about me. Right? I'm not the only one, am I? Now, I see a few of you, you're nodding your head. Yeah, isn't it amazing how we can make things about us? And yet, when we come to Jesus, our life is supposed to shift and change, and our life is supposed to be about him and then others. It's a good question that we have to ask ourselves, because we have this tendency to make things about us, and yet our life is most effective, and we experience life more fully when God is first, when God's first, and then when others, loving and serving others, comes next, and then when we're last. Now, being last doesn't mean that you're unimportant. Being last doesn't mean that God won't hear what you have to say or that he won't meet your needs. Being last it's not insignificant. I really like NFL football, right? And I've watched it for years and years, and every year they have a draft. And that's right where they pick players come out of college to play in the pros. And there's 7 rounds, 32 teams, and then they have all these supplementary picks and things. Anyways, all that to say, every year there's one last guy picked. I think he's number 297, I think. Right? He's the last guy picked. Nobody knows his name. Nobody expects him to actually make a team. But somewhere along the way, a group of people got together and decided that they would call him Mr. Irrelevant. And so now, if you are that last guy picked, they hold a whole celebration for you. You get to, like, go to Disneyland for a day. They have a parade for you. It's almost like, honestly, the truth is, how many people can say they've ever been drafted into a pro sport, right? Very few. And so being last does not mean insignificant or unimportant. This is God's design for us. We live our most effective, most full life when we live as God has designed us to live. With him first, others next, right? Loving and serving other people, and then us last. He's designed this. He's done this because our life is meant to be based in a place of trust with him, where we trust him and say, Lord, I'll put myself last and trust you to take care of me. God, I'll put others ahead of myself and trust that there's enough. That there's enough. That you'll take care of me. See, God has a way that life works, and what he wants for his people is he wants us to be victorious. He wants us to overcome and to live in freedom. He wants us to live free from things that will destroy our life, but he actually wants more than that, than for you to just simply live free from things that will destroy your life. He also wants you to experience freedom to the point where you will receive his kingdom, the plans and purposes that he has for your life. Because he has more than to just set you free from what will destroy you. That's important. It's vital. But he actually has more for you. He has good for you. He has blessings he wants to pour out on your life to experience more. Jesus often described that kind of freedom, that kind of fullness, as the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God here on earth. Right, being real, being manifest here on earth. And I think that you're here this morning because somewhere in your heart is the desire to know Jesus, to know him more, and to be more like him. Right, you can come to church for all kinds of reasons. Maybe you came because, you know, you wanted to see somebody. Maybe you came because your spouse made you. And I know what happens, right? But ultimately, somewhere in your heart is the desire to know Jesus more, because honestly, that's what you were made for. You were created to know God. You were created to know his will. You were created to know his ways. You're created to know him. He desires you to have relationship with him. And within your heart is that desire to know him more. We often, right, we let other things distract us and get our attention, things that come rushing at us. But within your heart, within the heart of every human being is this desire to know their Father in heaven, to live in and experience his kingdom. See, you're not simply here to survive this life. You're here to do more than just survive and get through. God has plans and purposes for you that are good, that are his kingdom breaking through into your life, into your world all around you. You're here to do more than just earn a living, pay some bills, and then hopefully retire. Right? That there's more for you than that. God has plans and purposes that would line up with his kingdom here on earth for you and for me. He has plans and purposes for you that are beyond your abilities and beyond your capacity. When was the last time you prayed and asked him to do something with your life that is beyond what you could accomplish on your own? See, this is the kind of thing that he actually is calling us, his people, into. Because it's not about us, it's about Jesus. And then it's about others. And if it's about Jesus, then it's possible for us to do things that are beyond our ability or our capacity. You're not here to simply survive. God has more for you in this life. Jesus talks about it when he's teaching us how to pray. And it's in Matthew 6, and we're going to look at it. This is, right, we've looked at the verses just before this, the last couple times I preached, and this is Jesus talking about how we pray. It's, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," or holy. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people, when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." That's difficult. That one right there. We're gonna look at the Passion Translation as well, because I like what they say. "Our Father dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn." That's really good. "Manifest your kingdom realm. Cause your every purpose to be fulfilled here on earth, just as it's fulfilled in heaven. We acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day. Forgive us the wrongs that we've done, as we also release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Rescue us every time we face tribulation, and set us free from evil." Jesus demonstrated a life of prayer. And it's important to him that we, as his people, as his followers, that we know how to pray, and that we engage in prayer, that we practice it, that we pray. Jesus modeled it. He showed us what it looks like. And it's important to God that we pray. Now, in saying that, like, prayer is, it's when Jesus gives this to us, he's doing more than just laying out a model to follow. It's more than just a blueprint. And sometimes we've boiled it down to that. And that's not all bad. We're going to pull a little bit from that. But it what Jesus is really trying to get at here is the pursuit of a relationship with our Father. It isn't a form or a function that we follow so that we know that we've prayed correctly. It's about a pursuit of a relationship with a God that wants us to know him. It's about knowing the one that you pray to. We're going to unpack what that means this morning. Because we were created to know him. We're created to know his will, to know his ways. And your interactions, your conversations with God are meant to be effective. So Jesus starts out, he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name." This is an expression of worship. He's starting from, right, "Our Father in heaven." This is where prayer is supposed to start. Many times we start prayer from here, right? From where we are, and then try and work our way towards him. And Jesus actually is taking and turning it around. He says, no, no, you actually should start prayer from his perspective, from his kingdom to this earth. Our Father in heaven. See, the Bible tells us that when we come to know Jesus, that we actually become citizens of heaven. You, if you know Jesus, you're not Canadian. You are, but you're not really. You're a citizen of heaven. And so he's telling us when we pray, we need to come at whatever it is we want to pray about with a mindset of heaven first. Our Father in heaven. And the way that we get there, and that is, there's an expression of worship, the way that we get to that mindset is through worship. Prayer is meant to involve worship. Worship is more than just the singing that we do on a Sunday morning. Like we've got fantastic worship teams here. But worship for you, for each and every one of us, is more than just that 30 minutes that we participate in on a Sunday morning. We're each and every one of us. God would want each and every one of us to cultivate and to develop a lifestyle of worship. Your own worship. Your own words, your own ways. The things that maybe you need to do, if you need to kneel or bow down or dance or you clap or whatever it is. But to develop worship between you and him. For some, it's silence. For others, right, you need to be in nature. There's all kinds of things. But to worship him. Worship is a part of prayer. And what that does is in worship, we magnify him. So he becomes bigger. Right? We begin to see him more for who he really is. How big he is, how great, how loving. You know, one of the ways that the Bible defines worship, like the translation of the word worship, is to kiss the face of. Worship, in the original language, means to kiss the face of. What's that talking about? That's talking about coming to our Father in heaven and moving up so close to him that he's right there, and you can kiss him like you would you might have done with your earthly father. This is the goal. This is the purpose of prayer, is to be with him, to be up close to him, to experience him. This is why. Because as you're close to him, you become more like him. You were made in his image. You're made in his likeness. That means you are to be like him. You are to look like him and to be like him. And I don't know about you, but lots of times I find myself spending time looking in here and going, oh, there's so much wrong and busted with me. And I think the Father says, just if you'd stop looking at that and look at me, and get close to me, get so close that you can kiss me, I'll change you. Because I made you to be like me. It is my design and my purpose, is that you're like me in this earth. So as you're up close to him, you become like him. What that means is then you begin to think as he would think about this world. You begin to feel about this world as he feels about it. I've noticed that when we start, if we start from this world to him, what we think and what we feel is influenced by what we see happening around us, right? Because it's pretty easy to look at our world and find all the ways that God's will is not happening here on earth, right? And yet when we start there as our starting point, right, I find that I'm praying with a hopeless desperation. See, when he says here, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that he isn't saying ask for that. This is a declaration. It's a statement that he's making. He's saying, God, Father, your will is being done here on earth. Your will, just as in heaven, your will is happening here. This is how the Father wants to change our heart and mind, that we can look and see it and say it with belief. Father, your will happen here. Your will be done on earth. Let me ask you, is it God's will to save people? Right, sure it is. He wants people to come into a relationship with him, right? Find the forgiveness of their sins and receive the eternal life that he has for them. And yet many times we find ourselves praying, and I think we're unconvinced that he wants to do it. I understand that we can pray and pray and pray and we don't see people move. It's because we don't always know what else is happening. What he wants from us is a heart that believes him no matter what we see with our eyes. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Worship and prayer is aligning yourself with who he is, with the plans and the purposes of heaven for your life, for this world. See, if you know Jesus, this earth is not your home, right? But the Father cares deeply about this world and every person on it. He cares deeply for each and every one of them, no matter where they're at, no matter what they're thinking, even if they hate God and want to make sure everybody knows it. He loves them. And he wants us to be that demonstration and display of love to humanity as he is. He wants us to believe as he would believe, to live as he would live, to speak as he would speak here on earth. Because what he wants is for us to be the demonstration of his will being done here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Because that is an effective prayer. See, we're not meant to be subject to the ideologies or pressures that we find in this world. Because we live from and by a different kingdom. And the ruler of that kingdom has his own way of taking care of us. If you're struggling to trust him with your needs and with what you see happening in our world, if you're struggling with that, then I want to encourage you to worship him until you're in his presence. Worship him. Get up close. Worship him until you're in his presence, and then talk to him about it, and then let him talk to you. If he talks to you through a person, or if he talks to you through his word, or just you have a sense of his spirit speaking to your spirit, talk to him. Develop a personal time of worship. In developing your own time of worship with the Lord, it will help you live in a kingdom perspective. Because this is what he wants for us, is to live from that kingdom to this earth. That's our home, right? Heaven is our home. And he wants us to live from home to earth, because earth is not our home. But God cares very deeply about this earth. So he wants us to live in that perspective, from that place of a kingdom coming to earth, his kingdom coming here. And then it's from that kingdom perspective that we're supposed to ask for what we need. Right? Again, we don't ask for God's kingdom to come or his will to be done. It's a statement, a declaration that we make once we're in his presence, where our heart and our head and our heart are aligned with him, where we're up close. We talk to him. See, when we're asking God to meet our needs, the things that we want and the things that we need, when we're asking him for that, it's not about us convincing him. It's not about us convincing him. Many times I think that's the approach we take. God, I need to ask you, I need to ask you, I need to ask you. Because if I, you know, we quote that, if you don't ask, you don't have. He's already convinced. He's convinced enough that he sent his son to make the way, right, for us to be in his presence. It's not about convincing God. It's about us expressing our complete and utter dependence upon him. It's about a heart that desires Him more than having your needs met. Do you desire Him more than you desire having your needs met? That's what He wants. He wants you. He wants all of you. He wants us. Do you desire Him more than you desire having your needs met? Because isn't it amazing how we can make it about us? I can make it about me. God, I have all these things that I need. And He said, could you just slow down a little bit and be with me? We'll get to that. Do you trust me, son? Let me ask you this. Do you think anybody goes hungry in heaven? Nobody's in heaven going, I wonder where the next meal's coming from. Do you think Jesus remembered? Nobody's saying that. And yet He says, like, you come to me, your Father in heaven, and you talk about, you declare, you come into this place of understanding that this earth, that it's supposed to be His kingdom, His will happening here on earth like it does in heaven. And then He says, so go ahead and ask for bread. Nobody starves in heaven. I know some of you look at me and say, well, you're not doing anything close to starving, Blair. Nobody goes hungry in heaven. What's Jesus really talking about here? Yeah, I understand. It is about the daily dependence upon Him. It isn't just about what we need. It's about our understanding of who He is in the midst of what we need. It's not about convincing Him. It's about our utter dependence upon Him. See, food and resources aren't the issue, right? There's no lack of anything in heaven, right? But God understands that for us, right, what we live by what we can touch and feel and what's tangible to us. So to us, resources are limited. And so He's saying, get into my presence. Get to the place where, you understand that my kingdom has come here on earth. Because then you can ask for what you need. Because He wants you to ask, Jesus was the bread of life. Jesus multiplied food when He was here. It's Jesus and others and then us. What's He want you to ask for? Enough bread just for you? Yeah, you see, you get it now, right? God, let your kingdom come. What that means is that the resources begin to multiply, but not for you, for others. Because it isn't actually about us. It's about Him through us, right? His kingdom. His and His alone. We get into His presence. And we talk about His kingdom here on earth. Because honestly, this is supposed to be easier than we think it is. It's supposed to be easier than we think it is. When we come at it from an earthly view towards Him, we're bringing all the difficulty of the situation with us. And what He's saying to us is, come at it from my perspective, because nothing's impossible with me, right? I think that living from heaven towards earth makes it impossible to hold a grudge. Which is why He says, forgive us our debts. Makes it impossible to hold a grudge, to hang on to unforgiveness, because heaven is all about freedom. It's all about new life and redemption. And you'll begin to see that in the light of eternity, that not forgiving somebody is really just a foolish choice that hurts you. everybody in this room has, I'm certain how you have done this. Somebody hurts you, betrays you, disappoints you, and you hang on to it. You never tell them, but you hang on to it, and it's rolling around in here. And isn't it funny that from a human perspective, we think, if I hang on to this, it somehow punishes you. Well, meanwhile, that person probably has no idea lots of times, right, that they've done anything. Or if they do know, and they've just moved on with their life because they don't care, right? And you're like, but if I hang on to it, it hurts them. It really does not. And yet heaven's about freedom. And the only person that choosing to not forgive or unforgiveness damages is you. I've noticed that when the Father, you know, when he begins to talk to me about things that are in my life that are less than what he would want, such as unforgiveness, he doesn't come at me from a standpoint of, oh, Blair, I'm so disappointed in you. He says, like, you have that sense of conviction. The reason that you have the sense of conviction is because he's saying to you, hey, son, hey, daughter, you could actually be better than this. You are better than this. Because you're made in my image. You're made in my likeness. So he looks for us to be in his presence. As you're in his presence, you'll find him if you're dealing with unforgiveness. What you'll find as you get into his presence is that he will want you to get free from that prison of unforgiveness and come into a greater destiny that he has for you. If you're struggling to forgive somebody, the step that you take is to worship. You worship and worship. Get up close to your Father. You worship until you can bless that person that's hurt you or wounded you. When you can bless them and mean it with the heart that the Father has for that person, then forgiveness is being accomplished in your life. It starts with a choice, but the Father will help you accomplish that. If you're being tempted, then you worship until you're at a place of peace. Right? The scripture says in Galatians that our spirit and the spirit that was in us and our flesh, that fallen sinful part of us that will always be in rebellion to God, are at war. They are at war. So within each and every one of us, there is a battle that happens every day. Right, it isn't even just like they don't like each other. Right, it isn't a matter of, well, we kind of disagree on how things should happen. We're just going to agree to disagree. They are at war within you. Everybody experiences that. And the way that we're to deal with it is to get into the presence of God, to come up close to our Father. Because the Father is not ever going to lead you towards temptation. He has no desire to lead you towards sin. He's always going to lead you away from it. And so you worship when you're tempted until you're into a place of peace. Because the fact is, Jesus fights for us. He has fought for us. That's the point of the cross and the resurrection. He is the defender, the deliverer, the mighty warrior. And he's good. Because he's good, he won't lead you towards more temptation. Heaven is this place of abundance. Insufficiency does not exist there. And Jesus is trying to get us to see that God's kingdom is not limited in either reality of heaven or earth. God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven only becomes a reality through God's people. It only becomes a reality through those that serve Jesus. In the same way that heaven was displayed here on earth through the person of Jesus, it is now meant to be displayed through you and me, who Jesus lives in. God had this incredible plan. I'll show you how it's supposed to look through one man. And then that man will send his spirit into all of you, and it'll look like that in everybody. God had an incredible plan. He is smart. Imagine, right? This is what it's supposed to look like through you and me. If it exists or it happens in heaven, it's meant to exist and happen here in our lives. And if it doesn't, then it's not meant to. Consider this. Scripture says, the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything on this earth belongs to Him. It also says that the whole earth is full of His glory. How many times do we look at our world all around us and we think, oh, it's dark and it's evil. Is there darkness and evil? Absolutely. I'm not talking about being foolish. But where we start, our starting point in approaching our Father matters. He says, the earth is mine, everything in it. This earth is full of my glory. What do you want to see? Do you want to see my glory on display? Or do you want to come to me with a heart that is full of fear and uncertainty because you see evil at work? Which prayer do you think is going to be more effective with the Father? Right? He desires us to come into places of faith, to come into places where we speak His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to invite the worship team to come back. We're actually going to practice this. We're going to worship for a little bit, and then we're going to pray for some needs that we have. And then I would encourage you to develop your own practice of worship and prayer day by day with the Lord. I'm going to invite you to stand. Come on, Chief, stand up, and then the worship team here is going to lead us.
There's nothing worth more that'll ever come close. Nothing can compare your
forgiveness or temptation. Where you are, consider what the Father in heaven thinks about that right now, meaning what's His answer, what's His opinion, what is His mindset or belief about that. And now, pray about that from that perspective. Because you were meant to live in freedom, right? You were meant to live in places of forgiveness. You were meant to live in places of the miraculous and the supernatural. You're meant to live in places where the kingdom of heaven breaks forth wherever you are. So, I'm going to encourage you to pray about whatever it is that you have to pray about right where you are. And, you know, if you want somebody to pray with you, just turn to the person on your left or your right. And I'm actually going to pray. I feel I'm supposed to pray for our city right now. So I'm going to pray for that. And you pray for what you want to pray for. So, Father, from heaven, when you look at Campbell River, you see a city that is longing to know you. You see people that are longing, their hearts ache to know you, Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that you would do in us what you need to do. Do in us, oh Father, what you desire to do in us and through us, that we would see Campbell River come to know you, oh God. That we would see young and old, families, singles, we would see men and women and children come to know you, Jesus. Lord, even people that don't know you would have the sense, the experience that Campbell River is like heaven on earth because your presence is here. This city is full of your glory. Everything in this city belongs to you, Jesus. It all belongs to you, Father, and so we give it to you and we ask, oh God, for your will, your way. We declare it, we state it as you, God, already know it to be true. May it be true through us. May it be true through us. And now, Lord, for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, for the needs that they have, God. We speak your provision. We speak your healing. So there's nobody sick in heaven. We speak your healing now in Jesus' name. Your healing, your freedom, your deliverance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We can come to you with these needs that we can see as you see. Father, for those that find themselves struggling with temptation or a sin that just doesn't let them go, Lord, we speak freedom now. Your blood, Jesus, breaks all things that hold us captive. You are the deliverer, the one that sets captives free. So, Jesus, we speak that over people in this room right now that need that freedom. Your cross, Jesus, sets us free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May we go in your presence, God. May we be with you. May we see your kingdom in all things. In Jesus' name. I have a blessing I want to read over you, as speak over you before you go. May you go in the presence of God, knowing that his kingdom is within you. May you be keenly aware of the opportunities where heaven desires to break through into earth. May you wake up to the sweetness of his presence. May your heart and mind hear his call to be with him through your day. Know that you are his and he is yours. He has chosen you to carry his presence, to see his plans and purposes accomplished on the earth. And we will see darkness pushed back. We will see deliverance, healing, and freedom. We will see salvation come to our city, because your kingdom, O God, is already here, and you, Jesus, will receive all the glory. We pray this in your beautiful name. Amen. Amen.